Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And if folks will just bear with me a second, I need to find Sherry in our queue. There we go. Welcome, Sherry. Good afternoon. Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Bob. I apologize. I was muted. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We've all been double or triple muted at some point.
No kidding. Oh. Well, here we are.
Here we are. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Our new open-air type radio show, Your Best Shape Possible, will offer support for keeping the commitments that take care of us. The show starts Wednesday, May 6th. If you enjoyed at-home working meditation retreats, we think you'll love our new offering, a series of workshops on the art of vegetarian cooking. The introductory workshop is Sunday, May 24th, and will support participants through step-by-step preparation of a simple meal. The workshop is by donation. For these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our first caller here.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
This is Chi Chi in Seattle.
Well, hello there.
Hi. So, I was supposed to call in because I've been doing the Beginner's Mind workshop.
As
I considered, I said, okay, you have to put yourself in the queue with this group. That's what their practice is. That's what our practice is in this group. So, and then I thought, I can't think of anything from the workshop. I can't think of anything that came out of it. I can't remember anything I did. But then I started to remember things that came out.
Isn't so, that the way life works? And then what happened?
Right. So I've been recording and listening much more than I have in a long time.
Uh-huh. And are you enjoying it?
Yes, I am.
Good.
I always enjoy it every time I do it. And time passes, big pieces of time pass, and I don't do it. So here I am back doing it again.
And you do know, I mean, you do know that the reason that time passes and you don't do it is the fact that you enjoy it.
Mm.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And it's not just with that, right? It's not just with that. It's with anything that is good for us. Anything that's good for us, we get talked out of doing. Anything that's not good for us, of course, we have endless support for doing that.
Mm.
Voices are just after us nonstop, reminding us to do that thing that is not good for us. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. There's an overeating and watching TV in the evening thing that's been going on for a long time, which I keep trying to practice with and fall into it, I would say almost, not every single time, but most of the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So at bedtime and go, oh, shoot, I forgot to overeat and watch TV. Right? But how many of us know you do realize you forgot to meditate today, right? Or remember you were going to do ha-ha-ha-ha and you forgot. You know, right at the time when it's past time for us to do whatever it was. You remember you said you were going to record and listen today, but you didn't do it. Yeah. It's just what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
So, beginner's workshop, projection. Have you seen anything kind of interesting about projection that you wanted to?
Oh, I did. And I wrote it all down, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't. I'd have to spend time thinking it up again. But I did. I saw several things that surprised me.
Uh-huh.
That was another thing about the recording and listening was, it's gone again. Oh, dear. I know what it was that really struck me was when we we said what meditation was, and then we owned that,
mm-hmm.
and that was a shock to me. I found it very hard to accept for a few moments that I am quiet. I am noticing what's coming up in the moment. I am not planned ahead.
Uh-huh.
Present.
I don't know
I'm present.
That.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that gave me pause, and I chewed on that many times.
Uh-huh. Although you could see immediately that it was true, right? Which is what that's what the shock is, right? We realize in the moment that it's true. I mean, who else is having the experience, right? You're the one it happened to. So you know it's the case, and yet all of the information is there to say, no, that's not true. That's not true. You're not that. You're not that.
Well, one thing that does continue to confuse me is the idea of being quiet, because mind is churning and emotions are churning and going up and down all the time.
But here's the thing. What knows that isn't.
Mm. Mm.
What is aware of that isn't. It's always quiet.
Yes, or how else would it know?
That's
it
right.
Wasn't quiet.
There you go.
Mm. Mm.
Good, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take good care.
Bye.
Gotcha.
Thank you, and Sharon, during the conversation, because I've been looking at projection a lot recently, and you know, it's just so fun, kind of be out in the world, and anytime my attention turns to someone else in some sort of judgment, it becomes a great way to follow that back and see where that's being created from, because that's the only thing I know is what's going on in me and this person in this moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it can be one of two ways, right? I can realize, whoa, I am really identified with that right now. That's exactly how I feel, or that's exactly what's going on with me. And then sometimes it's from that place that we were just talking about in that conversation, where there's an awareness of that as an identification.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, that I'm not identified with what is projecting that. So it's very easy to see it for the projection that it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then the more we practice with it, the more that ladder becomes more of the usual, right? You know,
yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we get over that place that I think so many people struggle with in the beginning, which is it's going to say something bad about me if I of course, it, like the previous conversation, well, it says all this good stuff. Well, that can't be me, right? And then if it's saying all this bad stuff, it's like, I don't want to know that. I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
So that realization that what we actually are is the awareness that's observing all of that, then we want to see it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mark in Chicago.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. I wanted to check back in with you. That woman I had talked with you about it died about a month ago now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so some of the things that came up, I mean, the whole thing was like a weed field for conditioning, you know, from being angry at the doctors and wondering why her and kind of on and on. And, you know, the other thing that really struck me was I saw her like maybe a week before she passed away, and she really looked, I didn't know a human being could look like that. I mean, and be alive. I'm sure that people who are in the healthcare business, you know, are more used to this and see this kind of thing. But for me, it was just a gripping thing to remind me to, you know, get on with it, because this is where it all ends, you know, and don't wait for tomorrow to be present. Be present today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that really came out of this that was very positive was that, you know, I've talked with you before about my kind of angst about dying and assisted suicide and all those sorts of things. And a result of this experience, this woman was actually our trustee, you know, our trustee for our estate, including healthcare. And so she passed, we had to do something else, of course. And we found a company that actually acts on your behalf in that capacity, which I didn't know even existed. So they have a staff of nurses and gerontologists, and they are your emergency contact. And so if you get hurt in the middle of the night, you know, they get called and they come and they do their thing and they know how the medical system works. And I don't think I've ever felt so much relief about something in my life other than maybe, you know, the realization of what practice was and what it could do for me. It was just a very settling thing to have that off my mind.
Uh-huh. That you don't have to think about that. You don't have to worry about that.
No.
And
not only somebody else is there to do it, it's somebody who actually knows what the heck they're doing. So, you know, we were one other woman we had. This is another thing. We've had three people who have been our trustees. Two have died and one got sick. And I mean, there was, you know, I'm not really a superstitious person, but Peggy and I both felt like, wow, I mean, do we dare ask another person?
Let's not ask a loved one.
Yeah, a friend, yeah. Or we ask an enemy, I guess, to do this for us. But, it's just nice to know that, you know, they not only know what they're doing, but they really put us through a very rigorous process of questioning. So if you're, you know, if there's an 80% chance you're going to die, do you want to be intubated? How about 60% chance? You know, and all these questions about things at the end of life that can happen, particularly for elderly people. And they walked us through, what is it? What happens when you get intubated? What happens when they do CPR on an elderly person? What's your chances of survival, and what does survival look like? And for me, it was just like, okay, I finally understand all this. I'm comfortable with it. I can let it go. I don't have to worry about it. And so it's just been, I don't know, if anything good can come out of stuff like this, that certainly did.
Yeah. Oh, it's very good. It's very good. You know, the number of people who put off even writing a will, because they're concerned about, I don't know what it is, that there's a superstition about it or something, you know, and the result for others when we don't take that kind of responsibility, you know, suddenly people around us are just left with all all of this,
mess.
I don't know. Yeah, mess, exactly. And fear and guilt, you know, kind of a, it's a huge responsibility. What would somebody want? What would they want? And so what a great kindness to set it all up so that it's taken care of and you don't have to worry about it and nobody else has to worry about it.
Yeah, for us, it's really the motivation is really the animals. I mean, if it weren't for having all these animals, I would just say, hey, you know, I'll dial them, I'll fight it out. I don't really care. I'm not going to be around, you know, but I really
compost
want...
me.
Yeah, compost me, right. But we really have to make sure that there's some continuity for all these creatures. So that's kind of the motivation for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And for people who have children who, you know, or
yeah.
even close friends, right?
Right.
I mean, who's going to, are you going to have a memorial service? What kind of memorial service do you want? But, you know, and that's a terrible time for people to have to try to guess at stuff. Well, I think he would have been, well, he seemed to like, I don't know, maybe piano music. You know, but if we take, you got that reference, right? You would have liked piano music?
Yes, I got it.
Preferably. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's just such a kindness. It's caring.
Yeah, that's actually a good point because a couple of the things, among all the things they had us do was they had us write our own obituary. And, you know, and write down what we wanted for a service. Because they said, you know, if both of you happen to die or if one's gone and then just one left is like, we don't know how to write your obituary. You've got to do it for yourself. And then we'll make sure it gets taken care of.
Yes, exactly.
And so I'll tell you, that's a creepy experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Years ago, we probably should do it again. I don't know how many years ago. But we did a whole workshop on that where we went through all of those. Yeah, went through all of those stages. And I mean, not to, you know, do you want CPR if you're, we didn't go to that, that length. But, you know, all of the, you write your obituary and how would you like your memorial service to be? And, you know, just everything about it for this exact reason that we're talking about so that your loved ones aren't left with having to make those kinds of decisions. It's painful enough to lose somebody without being thrown into a state of angst over, you know, how to deal with all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. Okay. I just wanted to check back in and let you know.
Yeah. And how are you doing with her passing at this point?
You know, it's kind of got a little picture of her on the kitchen table, you know, so we look at her. And, of course, the other aspect I didn't mention was because she had a daughter. And so one of the things her husband's doing to try to provide some continuity for her daughter is bring her here to let her ride the horse because she was pretty little, but she would ride the horse with her mom and walk to her and that kind of thing. So, you know, he thought that might help his daughter. So it was nice for us as kind of closure or continuity, I don't know which it really is, to see, you know, to see her daughter here and to see her picture. And, you know, I kind of oscillate between, like I said before, you know, anger about why did this have to happen? Because it was was kind of avoidable. And yet just say, well, you know, this is just such a strong motivation to stay present and not dwell on this thing. And,
to really, really take advantage, right? Really take advantage of every moment that we're here.
Yeah.
To live this moment the way we would like to live this moment. If, you know, it's kind of imagining, okay, I've been dead for 4 days now, and I have a chance, right, to come back. And so how do I want to be? How do I want to be with this? You know, do I really want to be annoyed or irritated with it or dismissive or any of those kinds of things, or is there some other way that I would actually like to be with this life?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's morbid at all. I think it's really good to keep right at the front of conscious awareness that this is a passing show. It's going to be over way before we're ready for it to be, no matter how old we are.
Right.
And so let's live it like it's important, not like it's something that we just have to endure. And then we're going to be really, really sorry when it becomes clear to us that there's nothing left to endure. It's over.
Yeah, I might have mentioned this on the last call, but our state, Illinois, just passed a assisted suicide law, and so
that
gives me some comfort, to be honest with you. I feel like that's a great option if a certain kind of end is what happens.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was thinking about it in the context of this woman, too. Of course, she had such a strong will to live for her daughter that I don't think she would have chosen to go, because I don't know what kept her hanging on, to be honest with you. But, I know what it is. It was her daughter.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that you have to go through such suffering because you love someone else so much. It's a hard thing to watch.
Yeah. Well, and for you, with assisted suicide, or just the choice about when to allow it to end, with your animals, I mean, you live with that all the time, constantly.
Yes.
You know, when something gets to the point where you just know that and of course, a la the retreat we're doing now on projection. Yes, we're projecting. If I were in that state, I would want somebody to help me out of that state. And so to be able to make that choice for ourselves, I've always found it such a bizarre irony, if that's a good combination, that we are so quick to offer that option for animals because we don't want them to suffer. And yet for humans, my God, you know, we're meant to just have them drag on and on and on, regardless of quality of life, just because the most important thing in the world is just to keep breathing.
Yeah.
And it's, for a lot of people, that's not a kind or sensible approach. So to be able to have that choice, it seems... I can't imagine it's not a direction all the states are going to go in, but we'll see.
Yeah. Great. Thanks very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Mark. Take good care.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Mark. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Bob and Sherry. This is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey. This has been really helpful listening to this call. And, I mean, all of them are, but and also doing the exercise for me, what came up in doing the imagery, I'm actually just some content. I'm having a lot of physical pain on the right side of my body, hip down, you know, because I'm supposed to be having this hip surgery now. And so just having these experiences last night of just such pain that I hadn't come across before, that were not allowing me to go to sleep even. And that's pretty rare and for me. And I would get up and try something else, another approach. And I finally used a preparation that had been given to me by a friend of mine's mother who makes this stuff. And that worked. And it came from a place of getting up and lying back down, because I couldn't sleep either. It's like my brain was talking about the pain, or it was just not able to go to sleep. And And then I finally got up, came back, and I went, why don't I just try that preparation? I know it works, you know, or it's work. And I did that, and sure enough, but this was like at 4 a.m. or something in the morning. It took a long time to get there.
Why didn't I think of that sooner would be the next question, right? Yeah.
Right. But it's what I've been having lately from various practices we're working with, like just being with something. You know, I had another situation of just letting go and being there with my computer trying to finish something. And I couldn't figure it out. And I just left. And then I came back and sat there for a while with it. And it finally came to me how to solve it. Just, you know, and it came to me. I know.
That's right.
I'm finding things that way. Like, well, maybe I ought to be steering over here a little bit to look at this area for this thing, and eventually finding it. And I'm just very moved by how kind of, in a way, kind of gentle or quiet, you know, that word was being used before, how we have to just be there. And it will come to us.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so referring back to that, not the previous, but the original conversation, when I said, and why are we not allowed to do these things that take care of us? And that's such a big one, right? You've got to constantly be doing something, or you've got to be figuring something out, or you've got to be, right, you've got to be active with whatever it is. And what you're noticing is quite the opposite. I need to just be. I need to be still. I need to just wait. I need to pay attention. I need to listen. I need to watch. I need to be very still, and it'll come.
Yes, and I'm really noticing that it doesn't matter if I have to wait.
Margaret. Exactly. As soon as we realize being is quite pleasant. In fact, it's the most pleasant experience a human being can have. Then, if we're required, you know, I don't know. This computer doesn't seem to be fixing itself, and there has to be a now step. So, I'm just gonna sit here with it. Just sit here with it. We'll just be together, and see what drops in.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a hardship.
I know, it's so funny in retrospect, but you know, at the time it was a little challenging.
Oh, absolutely. You know? For that very reason.
Yeah.
Because egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, has the floor as long as we are dissatisfied with this moment, trying to get to another moment. Something wrong, not enough. Yeah?
Yes.
But if you're going to just be with the moment and trust that the intelligence that animates you is going to give you the now step, it's a whole different, whole different deal.
It sure is. It is a whole different deal. Yeah, and I'm also appreciating meditation more. And I just thought I would never get there. You know.
But it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Because what is meditation? You're just being present.
Right.
That's it.
I know.
People want to go on vacation because they want to get away from their regular life, and they want to be able to just be somewhere and just enjoy it, right? Well, That's what meditation cushions are for.
Yeah.
The vacation from the rest of life. And you get to do it with the best company in the world.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Good reminders.
Thank you. Very many thank yous.
Take care, Margaret. Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And Sharon, we're going to go to good news updates.
All right. All right. Thank you, Bob.
And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Bob. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Vanessa, who is here to speak with us about participation as a practice tool and a koan. Welcome, Vanessa.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you. So, a lovely topic, a kind of a koan in itself. Say more about participation as a practice tool and a koan.
Right. Well, let's see. When I signed up to do this, participation, looking around for a topic, and participation just dropped in. And so I just started looking at it, and the more I looked at it, the more of a koan it became. Because, or just as I did it, you know, it was like, you know, it sort of became clear, like you sign up for something and then it's like, let the games begin. It's like,
exactly.
Who
way
signed
before.
Up?
Could be
right. Or
advance,
before.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Who signed up? What did they think they were signing up for? What is participation? Like, if you just show up, is that participation? Do you have to speak to participate? And why do you want to speak anyways? Like, what are you trying to share? Who are you participating with? Like, if it's all projection, like, who? So all this stuff, and I saw all, I felt like I saw so much, and then just got more and more, it just became kind of overwhelming, like, wow, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it amazing, Vanessa, like, truly your entire life in that one, quote, tiny thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. You mean, just exactly like how, yeah. So it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, truly. I mean, because as you say, first of all, you know, if you just kind of talk to the average person, maybe someone who isn't doing awareness practice and started asking questions like that, it could seem odd, right? I mean, really? I mean, yeah, what? And then it could seem like you're trying to figure something out, right? But from an what you're doing is awareness practice, everything you just said is an opportunity to see the process that happens for us, right?
Mm-hmm,
because whatever process happens for you in your life, I'm guessing, is exactly the process that happened for you around this entire workshop, right?
Right.
So out comes the invitation to sign up, to be a guest on Good News. Then there's the, where does that be? There's the signing up. Okay, that's interesting, right? Okay, signing up. Then let the games begin. The workshop starts. All of the things. There starts to be, I'm projecting, as you said, that kind of a, wow, that's interesting. I hadn't really seen that. You start to see so much. At a certain point, there's so much seeing that it starts to get called overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you
mm-hmm.
see that piece, and then there's mm-hmm. a, you know what? I have no idea. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And how often we get to that place when
mm-hmm.
we're really paying attention, what we realize is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. 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 Exactly. And yet there's so much to see. There's,
yeah.
you know, there's so much to
yeah.
see. the other thing that started happening was, as I was looking at this, I felt like every, well, maybe not every conversation, but every, say, conversation on the morning show, on the open air, was like referring to participation or you know, talking about it in some way or showing some aspect of it. And I was like, has everyone been talking about this all along? Wait, yeah. It's all yeah. here. And sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's all
well,
there,
there was one conversation that I think it was a call show or I don't know what, and I got on, you know, I ended up only being able to participate at the last moment or something like that. And so I dial in, and Sherry is having a conversation with someone, and it was about, you know, someone was saying, well, I still feel like I need to say something good or something to that effect. And Sherry was like, well, let me bring the brilliance. Let Ashwini bring the brilliance. You don't have to take on that burden. And I was like, oh my gosh, there it is. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. Well, what I really just saw in that, Vanessa, because I was very struck by that conversation too. And I think just on the morning show this morning, that conversation was referred to as well.
Mm.
So just that place of the resonance, right? That something that's just so sort of true with a capital T, if there is such a thing, that just resonates. And to realize that life is participating, right? So
mm-hmm.
I am participating
exactly.
And I need, right? So I'm going to sign up, and what am I going to say? And what topic am I going to talk about? Is it going to be
yep.
good? Is it going to, right?
Right.
That, to realize life is just participating, and we're just here, you know? You can't even say
yeah.
saying yes to the participation, because there's a way in which it doesn't really matter if you're saying yes, you're saying
exactly.
no.
Exactly.
It's more just like the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. So if we're focused on that realization that we are the participation, our experience is yes.
Yeah. 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 Our experience is yes. And yes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Right. And so as kind of looking at participation as a practice tool, and I think somebody, I don't know if it was the first call, I think it was the first call tonight, talked about how in this practice, what you do is you put yourself in the queue or you speak up
yeah.
or I can't remember how she said it, but I was like, yes, yes, there's a certain way of participating. I don't even know. There's a certain practice of participation in this practice that, well, it just brings up all of that, right? You,
yeah.
we could have a practice that doesn't sort of ask you to engage you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of hard to even talk about to engage in this way,
yeah.
but it does. And so
yeah.
then you get to experience all of those things, all of those parts, what ego does with those parts, you know, and see it all in that way. And yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I'm sure, I guess we've probably talked about it before, because as you're laying it out, it's just so clearly so, but I'm not sure I'd ever seen it in the way that you're talking about it, that truly participation is a practice tool in
mm-hmm.
the sense of that's what we do. We don't decide, let's see, should I, shouldn't I? I mean, we do all the time. We get talked into that, but the practice is to realize, oh, if I'm deciding whether or not to participate, I'm in conditioned mind. I'm in a
right.
conversation with conditioning. And that's just that's not good or bad, right or wrong. That's just, I just realized that because participation is what we do, right? And so I realized that, okay, so what now? Participate,
yeah.
right? Put myself in the queue. That truly is, gosh, I'm feeling really identified or this is going on and I'm suffering. Okay, participate. And truly, that's brilliant, Vanessa, because in every single moment of life, I mean, whether we're literally on a practice in a practice setting, on a call so we can put ourselves in the queue, or just going around in our lives, we are constantly being called to participate.
Yeah.
So we can always turn to that, to hear and look at, okay, participate in however that looks in this moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That participation is a way of, moving from identification to disidentification. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for working with that koan on behalf of the fungus. That was a very fun exploration.
Yes, it really, really was. I have lots of recordings. So. Thank you.
Yeah, and all the way back to that first, it just dropped in, and so you went, oh, okay, life, that's the topic's participation. Okay, great, here I go. I'm going to participate with that topic.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Gosh, so no. happy. Gosho. And Bob, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Vanessa. And Sherry, I really enjoyed that conversation because the place I always go with that is that, it's a little trick I've done for years now that whenever I'm being talked out of participating, I just sign up or participate in some other way. It's just an indication that I'm in a conversation. If I'm, it is a conversation, right? That should I? Shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I know I'm identified at the moment, so I might as well sign up or put myself in the queue.
Yeah, and the thing that I appreciated so much about that is that in taking that approach, what we get to realize is we are always participating. Mm. Whether we think we are or not, life is a participation sort of a thing. You can run, but you can't hide, right? Just to realize that I'm always participating. Am I participating the way I want to participate, mm-hmm. or am I participating in a way that I'm being controlled or made to participate because of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate? That's really it.
Yeah. That's really great to see.
So to do it consciously is just. That's where the juice is, right? That's where the enjoyment is. Because then we're saying yes to what we actually technically can't say no to. But at least we're in agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Margaret from California.
Hey, Margaret. We are rich.
Hi.
We are rich with Margarets.
I know. Just before I put myself in the queue and I got on, you called on the other Margaret.
Uh-huh.
Well,
here we are.
I'm just calling to participate, coincidentally.
Well, good. Excellent. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so for this quarter, for the commitment buddies, one of my commitments is to, whenever I'm able to call in and be on the call, is that my commitment is to getting in the queue, no matter what.
Yep.
I've never made that commitment before. I've aspired to it. I've noodled it. And I've been doing it.
Good. And I'm going to say it's transformative in and of itself, isn't it? But I'd like to hear your experience of that.
Yeah, well, what's transformative is that the whole mental process of do I get in the queue or do I not? Oh, that means I have to sit this still and listen. I can't be making breakfast or I have to just stop and do this one thing, and so that's a really good practice for me because, as many of us are, we think we're multitasking. Mm-hmm.
I know it's
one thing at a time still, but yeah, being efficient, doing more than one thing at a time, and so what making the commitment has. Dropped because there's no There's no argument. There's no conversation about it. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Which keeps me from actually paying attention to the call.
Oh.
And then yes. just feeling bad.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, you've been on retreats with us enough to know that there will always be somebody in the retreat who is new and they're going to take notes. And I always ask them not to take notes. And people are just, you know, kind of stunned by such an outrageous request because, of course, you take notes. That's how mm-hmm. you capture the information. And if people once catch on to how much they miss by this multitasking business, because it can look like, well, I'm listening as I'm fixing breakfast or I'm listening as I'm doing whatever. But then if you go back and listen to the recording, you realize, oh, I didn't hear that. Oh, I missed that. I didn't hear that either.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's only a split second or a little longer where the attention is on whatever. And it's just enough that you miss that and you miss that and you miss that. And when we put that whole thing together, we've missed a lot. And unless we do that kind of little experiment with ourselves to prove it to ourselves, we actually don't realize how much we're missing. But we are. And then, as you say, we feel bad about it afterwards.
Right. So you bring up an important point that I have noticed, but the taking notes is that I have, you know, notes from every day on the call while I'm listening and participating. And, you know, everything is just such a piss jewel of, you know, whatever the callers say, whatever you say, Ashwini says. And so what I notice about it is that it's so important and relevant in that moment that I'm in it. And if I do go back and look at my notes,
yep,
mostly it doesn't have the same impact. And then I get this story of, well, God, nothing is sticking. You know, what's the problem?
That's right.
Nothing is sticking.
That's right. You know what the answer is? You know what the answer is? That's because nothing's supposed to stick. We're unsticking. We're not sticking.
Yeah, like I don't have to grasp onto the insights or wow.
And there's a very specific reason for that that is incredibly important, and that is that what we're doing is letting it wash over us. So the experience that you're having there, that we all have when we're having that experience, so you're listening and people are saying all this stuff, and it's just whoo, whoo. Yes.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh. Okay. And none of that matters. None of that matters at all. The only thing that matters is what's happening to you as you're there listening to that. You are literally being transformed by that process. And if you finish, say it's a half hour call in the morning, because we're all both West Coasters, If that half hour is over and you don't remember a single thing that was said, all you're aware of is how you feel, that's enough. It's more than enough. And in fact, when we try to remember something, we try to cling to it, what we're actually doing is closing the aperture. And if we watch closely, we realize that as we move from that heart open, relaxed, expansive, just place, and we start trying to remember, we start trying to hold on to something, recall something, we can just feel it closing down, because what we're doing is going to conditioned mind to try to retrieve some kind of information. And that is the process that sustains suffering.
That just, like, opens the aperture of just trusting and being with life to inform in every moment, right?
That's it. That's it. That's exactly it. And that's what an ego identification is trying to close off, right? It's that opening. So you hear, you know, people will say, and we all know this experience, I can be completely in a pit of despair, and I get on the call, and I just start listening to Sangha talking, people are processing, and before I know it, I've disidentified.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Everything is fine. And yet, it's not because of information that they got.
Right.
It's the vibe, right?
Yeah.
It's the energy that we are all moving into that is, and what that energy that we're moving into is being life. And what we're learning to do is recognize that, so that increasingly we choose that over going up into conditioned mind and noodling and getting identified and being made miserable. And it's just the feeling, right? There's no knowing. In fact, if you and I, both of us clearly knowing this experience, tried to explain it to somebody, we go, it's just how you feel when you're really present and your heart is open and they, their eyes roll back in their head. Like,
Too new age hippie thick person.
Yeah. Too many drugs, girls.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Silly, as we're talking, this also ties into the experience that I had when I read the koan for this week about the second monk who, eats when he's hungry and he has a glass of wine.
Tired and has a little wine when he wants to.
Yeah, and when that just immediately struck me as that is how I just projected all this, just being present and attuned to whatever is next, and just a really relaxed way, unencumbered way to live. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about right now, is how that's what we're going for, right? Is to drop it all, if we're going for something, is to just to not go and not get, but just be here and not grasping on insights or trying to contain it in any way. Just really, really, really trusting the moment to
that everything we need is right here for us in each and every moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can see it, then it's just a big smile. If we can't, then we're training ourselves to realize, it's just because I can't see it. It's not because it's not here.
Yeah.
It's just there's something in the way of me seeing it. And as soon as I see what that is, it's that same process of, oh, I see. And then that's out of the way, and here we are.
Yeah. And I just got this flash also of this, how self-hate ends up operating in there. And there's a lot of elements at play that keep us from just, being as quotes,
as life
simple.
Is.
As with life as it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so simple, but there's all these, but it's good to see, right?
It's good to see. And what you're saying with this last piece is we really have to pay attention. So we can be, just as relaxed and casual as we can be, but it comes from paying really close attention.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, it's not like a thing to go get either. So there's that conversation that would make it into a thing to go get. So, which kind of makes it just feels lighthearted and fun to just be like, just having a broader picture of, this is how it works. And these are some of the barriers. And just the relief of not having to fix or change or get something or be better or do better, all
or
of that.
Or believe that there's something wrong or something missing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well,
that's why we keep coming back.
That's right. And this is where we say, well, have fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Oh,
go happy.
Go happy. Show.
Thank you, Margaret. And sure, I believe we have time for one more caller here.
All right. All right. Very good.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from California.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi,
you
Sherry.
Sound like you're in a spaceship somewhere.
I am in a spaceship. thanks for taking my call. So I'm rather new to the group, and I had an experience. You know, I'm doing a year-long retreat, and the mentor is new to me, and I had an experience recently where I did something wrong that was somewhat serious, but not into the world or anything. And I just started beating myself up. And then the mentor showed up, and I was like, "Well,
now, Lisa, do I have to stop you and correct your language, or are you going to get there on your own?"
Well, then I said, "Well, is this ego? You know, challenging ego? Because ego doesn't want to get beat up. I don't know." But
okay, let me help you out. And then we'll go on with the story from there. Okay. So you did something that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and perhaps the rest of society would say is wrong. Okay, you made a mistake, right? Now, in this practice, we call that a learning experience, right? So something happened that's going to be a big opportunity for you to see something important, right? And so self-hate leaps in the middle of your chest and starts pounding on you. So you are never beating yourself up. Those are self-hate voices that are beating you up, right? They're telling you that it was wrong and it was bad and you shouldn't be that way.
Right.
And there's that little human going, as the self-hate voices. Okay, all right. So here we go. What happened next?
Self-hate voices. Well, the mentor showed up, which I didn't expect because I've never, you know, I expected to have to practice with the mentor, and it just showed up, and then there was this back and forth between the mentor and the ego, and it was like a tennis match or something.
You had somebody on your side, right? Is that what the tennis match was?
It felt really good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the self-hating voices were still happening.
Oh, of course.
Right. And then it occurred to me, well, is it really the mentor, or is this ego saying, I don't like getting beat up. You've got to stop beating me up all the time.
So I can help you out here too, Lisa. That was ego. That was ego saying, is that really the mentor? Yeah? Because that's gonna dampen the enthusiasm for that mentoring presence, right? So if that can get identified as, well, that's just ego not wanting to, But the feeling you had, you recognized that was a mentoring voice. That was a voice that was there to take care of you, to support you, protect you, help you see something other than beatings. Yeah, and you felt it. You felt the difference.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, so you were surprised by this because you thought you would have to practice for a really long time before this mentor person would show up, right? Yeah. But that mentor has always been there, has been with you every step of the way. just waiting to be recognized, waiting for an invitation, a way in.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That's how you recognize it. It's familiar.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to be more familiar with it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what you can know. That mentor is so ready for a relationship with you. And that's why, if you do practices like the recording and listening, that's what that's all about. You know, you just get on that recorder and you talk to the mentor, and then you learn to listen for what the mentor says back to you, and you talk and the mentor talks, and yeah.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah, I've started doing that. That's
good for you.
Good exercise for me, yeah.
Good for you, yep.
Definitely
yep.
Benefit from that.
Because eventually, Lisa, eventually that will be the relationship. For most people, especially before they do something like an awareness practice, their primary relationship is with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's who's talking to them all the time. That's who they're looking to for, how am I doing? How badly did I screw that up? Right? So that relationship is going to begin to fall away. The relationship with the mentor is going to grow and solidify. And let me tell you, ego is not going to be excited about that. So buckle up and stay close to practice, okay? Because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. You cannot lose with that attitude.
Well, I've been practicing for a while, and this is going to be helpful.
Yep. Yes,
great.
It will.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us, Lisa and Sherry. That brings us to the end of Open Air today.
Yes, and thank you so much, Bob.
It was my pleasure.
For being here and taking such good care of us.
And we will talk to more callers next week.
All right, sounds good. Go happy.